I want to read out of, begin reading out of Romans chapter 5. And there is so much in that, there are so many doctrinal points that we could talk about in this chapter. But I want to read just the first, let's see. I'll read 1 through 9 for you this morning. You can follow along in your scriptures if you have a mind to. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, there is a lot in those verses, but this morning I feel like I'd like to go to the therefore. You see that when we see the word therefore, we need to, and I've said this several times, when we see the word therefore, we need to know what the word therefore is there for. And there, you don't start a sentence with therefore. Yeah, but there's always, if you say therefore, that means that you're saying something that about something that's previously been said. And we've talked about the chapter divisions in these letters. This is one continuous letter, and we like the chapter divisions, but sometimes we need to just read right on through them. So I'm going to back up this morning I'm not going to go all the way back to verse 1, but I want to pick up, if we can find verse 13, and here we're talking about Abraham. And for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. He didn't receive these promises because he was keeping the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of non-effect. Because the law worketh wrath. And I know that you know this, and I've said it before, and so has these other brethren, that the law was given to show us how sinful we were. And it is, the commandment is, I mean, here is the ultimate of the commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy strength. And one likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now then, the question is, and let me see your hands. How many of you say, I've done all that? Come on. Nobody, huh? Well, Abraham couldn't say that either. But that is the commandment. And all of these other, the Ten Commandments and all the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those are called the five books of Moses, and they were received by God as a guide for us. And, Galatians says that the law was a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster is a teacher, somebody that teaches you things. Well, a schoolmaster, it says the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What it did, it showed us our inability to keep the law. And the law, by the way, was given, and it says the law worketh wrath. What is the law? I mean, basically this, the soul that sins shall die. And the wrath of God is upon those that sin. So you say, well, where does that leave us? It leaves us back where we read out of the fifth chapter of Romans, that Christ died for us even when we were in sin. When we were ungodly, he died for us. Now, so I want you to see Abraham's experience here. And remember, We're going to come back to this, to this three, four, and five verses. I want to read those to you again, and I want to apply them, if you will pray for me, to Abraham's experience. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now, the therefore in this, in verse 5, takes us back and wants us to see that this is applicable not only to us, but to Abraham and all of those that came after him. So we look at this verse, and now I want to get one verse out of Hebrews. I just looked that up just a minute ago. Hebrews chapter 11. Now notice what it says about Abraham. By faith. Now, this is the beginning of this chapter. It says, being justified by faith. Well, where did you get the faith? Faith, we know, brothers and sisters, is a, it is a gift from God. Faith is something that is given to us by the sovereign grace of God. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And those who, and in Thessalonians it says, pray for me that the word of God may have free course and that I may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men do not have faith. All men don't have faith. And if you have faith, it's because you have been born of the Spirit of God and God has given it to you as his sovereign gift. So when we look at this from faith, Abraham received his faith the same place we received our faith, and that was from the Spirit of God. So, and Abraham, I want to, now then, reading verse 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Now notice this, he went out not knowing whither he went. God said, Abraham, get you up and get you out into a land that I will show you. Now, Abraham was living in a land of Chaldee, which was idolatrous. It was an idolatrous nation. They didn't worship Jehovah God, but God, now somehow or another, it says that Abraham by faith did those things. He obeyed God because of his faith. Now I want to go all the way back to Genesis, and I want to, and I trust we'll get back over here to Romans in a little while, but I want you to see that, this Abraham's story begins in chapter 12. And that's where it says, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, Abraham is a very, very important character, not only in the Old Testament, but throughout the New Testament. Abraham is a central theme of this book, because it embraces the covenants. I mean, when we look at that, God made a covenant with Abraham. And this covenant was passed down from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, all the way down, and we find Abraham being listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in not only in Matthew, but Matthew 1 and also in Luke chapter 3. So Abraham is a very important character for us to study this morning. But it says here that Abraham did some things by faith. And we know that a person, you just don't get faith. You don't have, I mean, everybody doesn't have faith. And Abraham had faith. You say, well, brother, how do you know he had faith? Because the scripture says he did these things by faith. And this is where we come from when we have faith. And I trust we'll get into some of these. But now Abraham, it says that Abraham, let me go back to Romans 4 and get a little bit more of this and we'll get back over there. All right. Now, let's see, where was I? Let me find my place again. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace. Now notice, he says, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith. It is of faith that it might be by grace. Now, we'll maybe go over to Romans, to Ephesians in a little bit, but it says, by grace are ye saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, brother, what does that mean by faith, by grace you're saved through faith? And that not of yourself. Well, we could say the faith is not of yourself, can't we? But the grace is not of yourself, right? And the salvation certainly is not of yourself. By grace are ye saved. By grace. And he says, therefore, it is all of these things happened to Abraham. He had faith, but where did he get the faith? It came from the grace of God when he was born of the Spirit of God. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise, listen, the promise might be sure to all the seed, that not to that only which is of the law, but to also these which is of the faith of Abraham, for who is the father of us all. Abraham was the father of, by the way, every one of us that's here today, you have faith. I know you have faith because you believe in Jehovah God. You have faith, therefore you are blessed with Abraham. You're kin to him. He is one of your ancestors. And so it says, he is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He's going right back over there to Genesis. It says, before him whom he... No, I want to get this without the parentheses. Go back. Abraham, who is the father of us all, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Sink in. Let that sink in. Quicken means make alive. Quicken means to give life to. And it says here that Abraham believed God. He believed in God who quickens the dead, who gives dead, and calls those things which be not. Listen to this. He calls those things which be not, though they were. Now, we're gonna get into this in a little bit, but it says, now notice Abraham, it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Hope against hope. I mean, when you think about, that's kind of who believed in hope, who against hope believed in hope. That means that sometimes we come to the point where we just despair. I mean, yeah, we have hope, but our hope is gone. And there are so many things that come before us that just discourage us. Hope, brothers and sisters, is trust with confidence. It is trusting in God and having trust and confidence that what he has promised, he's going to do it. These promises mean nothing to us until we believe them. And this is the point that Abraham was making. Now I want to read verse 19. And being not weak in faith, but considered not his own body, now dead, which he was able, about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, when finally Isaac was born, Abraham was 100, and Sarah was 90, I think. But anyway, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God, though through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God glory. Now then, if you've read the story of Abraham, Abraham was not always the believing child of God. You say, well, Brother Allen, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. But I want you to see, it says that tribulation works patience. Abraham went through many, many, many trials. He suffered many disappointments. He did a lot of things that God, that was not so, he went down to Egypt when there was a famine there, in Canaan. He went down to Egypt. He left the promise, the land of promise, and went down to Egypt, and he told Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister, and they went into these, but God, through his great providence, prevented Sarah from being taken by that king. But I'm getting ahead of myself. But notice it says, and Abram, notice in verse 6 of chapter 15, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem and the land of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. There was many people in that land of Cana that did not appreciate Abraham coming and trying to take. He said, God said, I'm going to give you this land. Well, in order for Abraham to be able to possess that land, you've got to take it away from the ones that's in there. And that's the story of how all of this came to pass. Now notice, and I'm just going to skip along the top of these verses. I commend to you chapter 12 of Genesis chapter 12 through at least chapter 22. Is basically the story of Abraham. Abraham went up out of the land, went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And that was another thing. Abraham took somebody with him. God said, get thee up and get thee out of thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now, how did Lot get here? Well, Lot was Abraham's nephew, and he said, well, I can't leave Lot here. Well, so he took Lot with him. You'll find out later on that Abraham and Lot, they began to argue about the different parts of the land, and Abraham, being the kind of guy he was, he said, okay, Lot, you choose the land that you want, and I'll take what's left. And it says that Lot looked up and he saw the great plains, the great wondrous grassy plains, a beautiful land of Sodom. And it says he cast his eyes toward Sodom. And we know the story as it develops, that what happened to the land that Lot chose. Remember? Abraham suffered great, great loss in that experience. Now remember our text. Tribulation works experience. Sometimes we have tribulations, and you know, God is very patient and kind. Sometimes when we fail the test, He gives us another chance. You know, God is not only a God of second chances, but third and fourth and fifth and so on. God is a very patient and kind and long-suffering God. But Abraham learned some things through his experiences. That tribulation works experience. And if you don't have, and it says, tribulation works experience and experience, I've already missed, Brother Dale and I back there talking a while ago. I said, I can't remember my own name, much less these. But anyway, it says, let me get back. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience. That's what I was trying to get. Tribulation works patience. And if you don't have patience during the tribulation, you will not see the experience. You say, well, Brother Allen, I don't like tribulations. Well, neither do I. For the sake of tribulation, I think every one of us would say, I just don't like tribulation. It could be all kinds of things, all kinds of troubles and trials and disappointments and things that come in our lives. But through these trials, if we will have patience and be trusting God and looking to Him, He will give us an experience in those trials. And that's what Abraham is going to learn. Patience, experience, and experience hope. Now then, let's skip over. I'm going to run out of time. Let's skip over to the 15th chapter, Genesis. Now, 10 years has gone by. Now remember, God said, "Of thy seed will I give you all of these lands, and thy seed shall be as the sand of the sea, and so forth." He made this promise to Abraham, and now then it's 10 years down the road, and he hasn't received it yet. If somebody made you a promise and you said, okay, where's the promise? Where's the promise? Where's the promise? And 10 years went by and you still hadn't received it. Would you still believe the promise? How long are we going to believe God? You know, there's a lot of folks that believe in God, but how many people believe God? That's the point. Abraham, now notice in chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God. Now notice, where is Abraham's unstaggering faith? Abraham said, Lord God, Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. That was the Jewish law. If you didn't have any children, and somebody was born in your house, though you were not their father, and you had no other children, that person that was born in your household became your heir if you didn't have any other heirs. And this is what Abraham's saying is, you promised me where you're going to give me a child. Now then, here I am, and I believe he's 85 years old, if you'll check it out. The promise was given to Abraham when he was 75. 75. Now then, 10 years later, where's the promise, God? Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir. this Eliezer, he's not going to be your heir, Abraham. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. You remember back regress a little bit back in the 13th chapter or somewhere in that area. It's later on. I'll get it in a minute. Abraham said, the Lord said, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Abraham, look now toward heaven. If you've never experienced a West Texas sky, I mean, if that's one of the things that you're going to experience going out there to West Texas, Nikki, at night, open your eyes. There's thousands and thousands. I mean, out there in West Texas, there's none of these big lights around here that block off the light. And it's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, there's millions of stars. And this is what God said to Abraham. He brought him forth and said, now look toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. I mean, if we begin to number them, you say, well, did I count that one or not? I mean, you just can't keep numbering and numbering. The point here is you cannot number the stars. You can't count them. And if we got all the ones we could see, you understand that there's some out there that we can't see. So he said, Abraham, count the stars if you're able to. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Wow, that's a lot of kids, isn't it? That's a lot of people that's going to come forth to Abraham. And notice this. Now, some people want to say, and go over here to this place in Romans, and say, well, Abraham believed God and then he became a child of God. We're 10 years down the road from the first promise. But notice what he says. And he said unto him, I am the Lord. I'm sorry, verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. You mean he didn't believe in the Lord before? It says he believed in the Lord. This is 10 years down the road from when he told him to get up and get out of Chaldee. And it says he did that by faith. So where is Abraham's belief? All of these times he did all of these things, and we're going to find out even now to the point of unbelief that's still going to plague him. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And you read the rest of this chapter, and it says that there was a sacrifice made and so forth. And in verse 14, it says, and also that nation whom they shall judge will I judge, and after they shall come out in a great substance. And so this, he said, your children, the descendants of Abraham, is going to come out of this land. He said, there's going to be a time when you're going to go be carried off in, you're going to have to go down to Egypt, and they're going to be down there. How many? 400 years? You remember Moses and how he delivered? This is the same descendants of Abraham that went down to Egypt. So we find now, okay, Abraham said, it says he believed God. He believed the Lord. All right, now then tell me about this Hagar woman. Remember her? And Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now, when you look at this from the standpoint that this is Hagar in her unbelief, but Abraham went along with it. Abraham was 85, and now remember, Sarah, think about a man 85 today. Hey, Brother Dale, you're about that, aren't you? All right, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child, and not only that, when you think about all of these possibilities and how impossible it is by nature for this to happen. Here is Sarah, she's already gone through the change of life, and she knows it's impossible. I cannot have a child, and my husband is old. Old man. Can't do anything. The old saying is, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. And when you think about all these old, that's just like us. Now, and Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, and I'm sure that they have been trying to have a child. They've been trying to fulfill this promise. But here's 10 years down the road and no child. I pray thee, go in unto my handmaiden, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Does God need any help? This is an example of how man, in his unbelief or his lack of trust in God, God said, Abraham, you're going to have a child, and it's going to come out of your loins, and Sarah's going to be the mother. Okay. Why didn't he say, no, Sarah? You believe what God said, you're going to have a child, and I'm going to believe him. Well, here's another place where the wife got the husband in trouble. Happened before, didn't it? But here is Abraham hearkening to the voices of his wife, and they went in, and what happened? They had a son, and his name was Ishmael. Well, is this the one? Skip over now to the 17th chapter of Genesis. And when Abraham, now notice this, Abraham was 90 years old and 99. Remember the promise way back in the 12th chapter when he was 75. Maybe it might have been possible when he was 75, but 99. And when Abram, now notice his name's still Abram. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Yeah, right. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying. Now, remember, Abraham is talking to God just like I'm talking to you today. Abraham fell on his face. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Many nations. Yet he's 99 years old, and he has no kids. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and thy generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now, if we go over from here and read Genesis, not Genesis, but in Galatians, it will say that this seed that's promised is not to many seeds, but to one seed, and that seed is Christ. So here is a promise that this covenant, which was a reiteration of the eternal covenant, that God is going to make a covenant with your seed, which is Christ. That's what Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 says. So it says, and I will give unto thee, to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art and a stranger, and all the land of Canaan. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. Now, I've got a lot of material, but listen, look at verse 15 of chapter 17. And God said unto Abraham, as for thy wife Sarai, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face. Now notice this. Abraham fell on his face, and what did he do? Read it. He laughed. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Where's your unfailing faith, Abraham? Remember, tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. All of these things that Abraham is going through from the time he was 75 all the way up to now, he's learning some things, and he's trusting more in God all the time. But he has to have patience in all these. I mean, would you have patience if somebody gave you a promise and now it's 25 years later? Would you still be faithful? Would you laugh? Don't tell me you wouldn't. And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto me that is 100 years old and Sarah that is 90 years old? I mean, I'd ask any of you dear sisters here that's past the age of childbearing, what would you think about this? And God said, Now notice it's Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might be before thee. I have a son. Let Ishmael be my heir. Ishmael was of a handmaiden, an Egyptian handmaiden. And it was the result of unbelief. Because of Sarah's unbelief and Abraham's going along with it, they learned some experiences, didn't they? And the more we go through these trials, the more we're going to learn, but you've got to be patient if you're going to see the hope. That's the point in Romans 5. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Now we have, you remember the fathers. Who are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then the 12 tribes of Jacob. And we've studied a lot on these in our Bible study, Brother Devin, and we're going to get more into it. But all these women were over in Chronicles. It said beget, 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 beget. I mean, it's like a broken record. Everybody's begetting everybody. I mean, but as Brother Randy so wonderfully pointed out, all of those begets are inspired. They're all important to establish this promise in not only to them people, but to us. Now, and he says, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and will bear him exceedingly 12 princes. And God said, because Ishmael is your son, I'm going to bless him, not because of anything that I have toward him, but because he come out, because he's your son. I'm going to bless him. Now, and so we go on and we read more and more. So we have here the promise. You're going to have a son. His name is going to be Isaac. And Sarah is going to be his mother. We skip some more. Go over to chapter, and I'm about done here. Go over to chapter 21 and we'll get the... We're finally getting to the point where Abraham is just about ready to believe everything God says. Now remember, it says he, by faith, he went out from Chaldee, but all of these times, from he 75 all the way to 100 years old, he's learning lots of things. He went down to Egypt and did all of these different things. And not only that, but his through his unbelief, we have what we call the Arabs today, the Ishmaelites. And it says that Ishmael was a mocker. He didn't have any, I mean, he ended up being an idol worshiper. Now notice in chapter 21, and the Lord visited Sarah. The Lord visited Sarah. Now I want you to think about the miracle of this. And the question is asked over here. Now I'll get to it in a minute. But anyway, here is a woman 90 years old, and God visits her. How was it that Mary, the mother of Jesus, became with child? It was, I know that Sarah is no virgin. Well, she hasn't had any children, so she's barren. She has no children. All the way up, all of her life, she's wanted a child, but she didn't have one. Now then, here she's 90 years old. And it says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him from Sarah, that Sarah bare him, Isaac. You know what Isaac means? It means laughed. It means laughed. They called his name Isaac because, and it says, they laughed. Abraham laughed. And then Sarah, when she heard all these things, Sarah laughed. He said, where is your wife? Well, she's in the tent. it goes on, it says, Sarah heard these things and she laughed. And God said, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, yes, you did. You laughed. And this child that's going to be born of her, his very name means laughter. Laughter. Now then, let me read a little bit further. And Sarah said, God hath made me laugh. God has made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. Yeah, they're laughing at you. They're laughing at you now, but Sarah, they're going to be laughing with you soon because it's going to be a very joyful and wonderful time. God hath made me laugh. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast. All right, now then, we finally have the promise. And Abraham says, wow, maybe God is really going to bless me. And the answer, the question is asked, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Can God make a woman that's 99 years old and a man that's 100 have a child? Yes. Can God fulfill our promises? I mean, you think about the impossibility of those promises. Now, the last one that we have here of Abraham's test was in the 22nd chapter. And now remember, here is the child. He's been weaned and he's going on. And God says to Abraham, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son. And you take him up on a mountain and you offer him for a sacrifice. What? Well, Abraham did not question God. Now notice in chapter 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That doesn't mean that he tempted him with evil. It says he tested him. He put him to the test again. All these trials from the time he was 75 all the way up till now, he's been testing him. And he said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of. And what did he do? Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering. And he rose up and he went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, that's significant. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, he took these young men with him. The caretakers of all these said, you guys stay here. You guys stay here, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship and come back. And it says in the New Testament that Abraham received Isaac from the dead as if he was risen from the dead. Now, Abraham all this time, he knew, he finally gets it, that God, when he makes a promise, he means what he says. And so, I don't know what's going to happen here, but God said for me to take this child up here and offer him up for an offer. And I know if I do that, God has said, out of my seed, out of this man shall all the families of the earth be blessed, and he shall be my heir. And, all of these things, it's going to come to pass. I believe God, and I know that if I take him up there and offer him up as an offering, God will raise him from the dead. That's how much he believed Abraham. God believed. Abraham believed God. Because he said, the lad and I go yonder, we're going to worship, and we'll come back. So Abraham, by faith, he took Isaac. And in the New Testament, it says, and when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, it said, they asked the question, we're Abraham's children. Remember what they said? We're Abraham's children. Well, Abraham had a lot of children. And not all the children of Abraham were in Isaac, or counted for the seed. Jesus said, if Abraham were your father, you would not try to kill me. And the question was asked, are you? He said, before Abraham was, now listen to this, before Abraham was, what? I am. Not before Abraham was, I was, but before Abraham was, I am. He is the great I am, and we heard a sermon on that here in our meeting. But before Abraham was, I am. And it says that he said, are you older than our father Abraham? And it says that Abraham believed God, and Abraham saw my day, and he was glad. Well, he saw his day when he went to this altar. And we find that as they go up to the mountain, he takes he said, by the way, we've heard this story, is Isaac said unto him, Abraham, his father, and he said, my father, he said, here am I. He said, my son, he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where's the lamb? And Abraham still believed. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both together. Abraham believed, whatever was going to happen, I don't know what's going to happen yet, I'm going to do exactly what God says. And we find that he went up and he put the wood out there, and he put Isaac, and he bound him up, and he tied him up, and he put him on the altar, and he raises his knife back, and he is just about ready to cut the child's throat. He was going to do it if God had not stopped him. And the angel of the Lord called out unto Abraham and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said unto him, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For that now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son and thine only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, and behind him in a thicket was a ram. And I want you to see, this is the place where Abraham saw Jesus Christ. He took his son off of the altar. He took Isaac off of the altar, and he put the ram on the altar, and he offered that lamb in the place of Isaac. Isaac, in that picture, is us. God took us off of the, every one of us deserve to be totally and forever separated from God. But because of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, because of this Lamb, he takes this Lamb and puts him on the cross. And this man, this Lamb, he bore in his body all the sins of all of his people. And this is the promise that we need to believe. And over here, and I'm going to go back to my text, and we're quitting. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe? Do you have faith to believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior? You say, and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you do not have faith, you're going to say no. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But Scripture says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not you will be if you will believe, but you are born of God if you believe. And it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have faith, and the believing the promises. If you don't, you got all these promises, but if you don't believe them, they're going to be of no value whatsoever to you. You've got to trust God. And when he says, do you believe this promise? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do. Do you believe that God will ever forsake you? I mean, these are the promises of God, and we must, as Abraham, I know there's a lot of trials, a lot of troubles, a lot of things that's going on in our lives, but we have got to have patience during those trials and trust God that he's going to be there. When he said he would not leave us, we must believe it. And when we have a loved one like the our dear sister Ruth that we love so much, that she's laying there and we cannot do one thing to help her. And the doctors can't do anything. They've done all they can. Now what are we going to do? We're going to pray. And we're going to trust God that this sweet lady, she has been so faithful to this church and to the Lord Jesus Christ all of her life. And she's not worrying about where she's going to spend eternity. And neither are we. She will be healed either here or there. And it says, by whom, now notice, if we believe that Jesus is our Christ, that he died for our sins, that when he was on that cross, that he actually literally took us off and put his son on. And it says he bore in his body our sins. And it says, by faith also we have access, by whom, Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What is our hope? Hope. Remember, hope is confidence with expectation. Expectation is desiring something and expecting to get it. Hope always has a future out there, and it involves something that is, hope is not a wish. Hope is, a wish is something that you wish for. You know, I was hoping that it rained today, but it didn't. But when we look at the hope that we have, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie. We've got to understand that God, when he makes a promise, he's never going to take it back. He's not going to give you a promise. And that promise, by the way, whether or not we live in eternal glory, has nothing to do with you or your works. It has everything to do with what God has done for us. And when we can believe this, we don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go and confess to a priest and have him intercede. We have direct access into the very throne of God by faith. We can approach him one-on-one, just like Abraham did. So it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, do we? Now, there's a lot of things that go through our lives, but when we look at tribulations for the sake of just suffering and saying, well, I'm suffering for Christ, that's not getting us anywhere. But when we have these trials and these troubles and all of these things that come along in our lives, what are we going to do? We go to God and we trust him. Lord, I don't know what you've got in this for me to learn, but I trust that you're going to bring me through this, and I trust that you will be with me in this. You will either deliver me out of this trouble or you'll help me get through it. That's the promise. But we've got to have patience. And when we have the patience in our troubles and trials, we're going to receive an experience. And when we receive this experience, just like Abraham, he went through all of these terrible trials, all of these trials for 25 years, trusting and doubting sometimes that God was able to do what he promised. And laughed at his promise. Have we ever laughed at God? I hope not. But you know, honestly, do we? When God promises something, are we willing to take that promise on the word of God? There's a lot of them in here, but we're just like Abraham. We're humans and we're sinners. And we need the grace of God every single day of our life. Every moment of our life. You know, there's a song that one of the Kyles sang. It says, I can't even walk without God holding my hand. I can't do anything without Him. But we've got to stand and we've got to sing and we've got to understand that, that no matter what happens to us in this life, we're going to be with God. Now, what can somebody do to you if you believe that, that no matter if I'm absent, if I'm present, if I'm here in the world, God's going to be with me. And if I'm over there, I'm going to be with the Lord. It doesn't matter whether you're dead or you're alive. You're going to be with the Lord. And I know I haven't handled this as I would like. I can't read as well as I used to, or my wife said you never could read. But I trust that you will take the things that I've tried to say this morning and the things that I've tried to present to you and put them to practice in your life. Because God is, He's on the throne, and His ear is not short that He will not hear. His arm is not short, and His ear heavy. So He will hear us, and He will deliver us.